Welcome back, folks. In the Marathon Computer Phone Room, we have publisher of Tidbits, Adam Anks. Adam, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for joining us here tonight. You guys, as we said earlier in the show, have been doing Tidbits for millennium, it seems.
I assure you.
But now you guys have branched out into, well, kind of selling books. Explain to the audience what the Take Control series is all about.
Well, basically, we discovered that there was kind of a hole between a long magazine article and a full-fledged computer book. That you just had that space where a topic could be something you really wanted some detail on, but there was no way you were going to write a couple hundred pages about.
Sure.
And so we just also realized that we had all the building blocks in place. We had PDF, we had an audience with Tidbits, we had Accelerate for Commerce, all sorts of things. We could actually create electronic books in PDF with our authors and sell them to people for not very much money. So they're not very long. They're not intended to be these huge tomes that you download, you know, that you go bookstore and buy and then sit on your shelf forever. But we can keep them fast, we can keep them small, and we can do updates.
The books are sort of the equivalent of a quick start guide, aren't they?
Yes and no. I mean, some can be. For instance, Take Control of Upgrading to Panther is a pretty, well, I shouldn't say that. In some ways, Take Control of Upgrading to Panther is more detailed than a quick start guide because we're going into depth on a relatively short topic.
Sure.
So, but then we have also things like Take Control of Sharing Files and Take Control of Your Airport Network, which are pretty long and detailed. Again, not so much as to be the equivalent of a full-fledged book, but not too far off. And we're not trying to do super beginner books. I mean, we're not gonna leave those people out in the cold, but at the same time, we want people who know what they're doing with the Mac to still be able to learn something. Our goal from the beginning was to say, we should be telling you stuff you can't find on Google in 10 minutes.
But stuff that is would be in a book, a larger tome that you pick up at a bookstore that you didn't bother to go get.
Might be in that, or it might not, because no. See, here's the dirty secret about those big books. Because they have to cover everything, every individual chapter might actually be pretty light. So, you know, have you ever seen a book that's got 100 pages on sharing files?
Yeah, no kidding, yeah.
So again, by focusing tightly on just the topic people want to hear about, we can go into depth while still keeping the size down.
One of the interesting things that I saw you discussing on the Tidbits mailing list was the idea of digital rights management. This has come up a lot with Apple and iPods and Real and that kind of stuff. There is no DRM with these books. You could, in theory, put these up on a website and have other people download them, stealing them from you, but you guys have chosen not to do any sort of rights management. Why not?
Because we think it just treats customers like criminals.
Yeah.
I mean, the simple fact of the matter is that we believe people are basically good and honest. And we believe that if you treat people that way, they'll reward you by acting that way.
Mm.
And admittedly, we have a few little advantages over, say, music. So, for instance, the cover of every one of our books has a price on it. So we're accustomed to when you see a price, you know that it's a commercial object, and there's all sorts of little built-in things that say, ooh, I shouldn't steal this. A song doesn't have that. You know, there's nothing that says this is a 99-cent song here, and so they try to go to other ways. But I would much rather just say, hey, you know, we're not going to try to prevent you from giving a copy of this to your buddy to, you know, so he can take a look. You do that with a physical book.
Sure, yeah.
You know, same thing here. If your buddy's using it a lot or, you know, he wants the next one too, ask him to buy his own copy.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, you know, it's just, you know, sort of a reasonable way to work. And, you know, I run a Google search every day to see if the PDFs have shown up on the Internet and check the file sharing services every
sure.
so often. And I've seen three instances where a file has appeared.
Mm-hmm.
In one case, the guy was taking it home and put it on his iDisk and forgot to take it down. One case, a Latin American Mac user group had it on their iDisk for a while. I could never quite get through to them to figure out why, and they eventually took it down.
Yeah.
And then once on a file sharing service, it showed up in a search, but it wasn't downloadable.
That's not bad.
You know, hey, I'm happy. You know, that realistically, I expected some copying, and I can, you know, we have a link right on the cover, you know, for people to get a discount. We're encouraging people to tell other people about it, things like that. So, you know, if a few people get free copies, hey, it isn't the end of the world. It's not like it's costing us anything.
Susan Gare in our World Without Borders chat room says, I bought the Take Control of Panther book. It helped me have a pain-free installation. I bet you've heard a lot of that kind of stuff from a lot of different people.
Absolutely. The Take Control of Upgrading the Panther was, you know, absolutely the right book at the right time. So we got it out the same minute Panther shipped
yep.
in our time zone. And we had people buying it while waiting in line at Apple stores on the West Coast. And it was just such a – it was so helpful. I mean, this is me talking. I do this stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Even when I was updating my parents' computer to Panther, I thought, I don't need to follow all of Joe's advice. And I promptly got bit. You know, I'd forgotten to turn off some login items and figured it didn't matter. And, you know, Mac comes up after Panther launches. Some utility they'd installed launches, and Finder quits and launches. And, you know, just, it was that lesson of, hey, you know, you just follow the steps. You're pretty much guaranteed a good result unless you've got some disk corruption going on. And that's not something anyone can help you with. So, although we do tell you to check your disk.
Tell us about the actual process that's going on from your point of view. I mean, I remember when you started talking about this and it came out, for example, you use an e-commerce system called eCelerate. Why did you pick that over some other options?
We actually started with Kagi, in fact.
That's right.
We like Kagi just fine, but the
and Kagi's been around for years, too.
They've been around forever. We're good friends with them.
Yep.
They're great folks. And the problem was, is what we did with Kagi was an experiment. We had set up our merchant account so we could do the credit card processing on our own. Using them as a cart, and the merchant account side of it was just a nightmare. Nightmarish beyond belief. I won't even start to get into it. And so at that point, Kagi's transaction fees were too high if we didn't use our own merchant account, so we switched over to eCelerate. And we've been very happy with them too. They've got a somewhat different system than Kagi. They do certain things better and worse, whatnot. But on the whole, you know, they've got a lot of the kinds of things you want when you're selling stuff. So, you know, we can have, when people order one book, you know, it says, hey, you might be interested in these other books. We can do coupons. We can do bundles, all that kind of cool stuff.
The other thing that you guys have going on that's different from other publishers is the relationship you have with your authors. A lot of the authors are people who have either written for you in the past through Tidbits or possibly even personal friends or folks that we know through Macworld Expos. They're also members of the community, aren't they?
Absolutely. And that was where we wanted to start. You know, one of the things that, you know, I'm starting to kind of put words to this, I'm actually using the term extreme publishing, playing off the extreme programming world. But we're really trying to rethink the entire publishing model. And, you know, we want to obviously be able to work with anyone at some point, but while we're still figuring out the process and how to be able to do this quickly and effectively and accurately, it's just easier when you're working with your friends.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just yet another reason why it always pays to make friends.
The Wired article says, while most print authors get 10% royalties writing 3 or 4 books a year to make a living, Angst says his authors get 50%. He's selling books for less but paying authors more. You communist!
Yeah, shouldn't be allowed or something.
That's right.
Well, then keep in mind that, you know, I've written a lot of books.
Yeah.
So as an author, you know, you get into that, you know, that contract negotiation phase. You're like, so let's see, I do all the work and I get 10% of the selling price, which is half of the cover price.
Yeah.
You know, so on a $30 book, your average author is going to earn $1.50. On our $5 books, our average author is going to earn about $2.15.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so no, we're not selling this the kind of copies that a good, you know, a paper book that's a strong seller can sell because we don't have the full channel yet. But at the same time, you know, the average number of sales on paper books is dropping all the time, it seems. I heard from one publisher, they were really happy if a paper book sold 5,000 copies.
Wow.
And, you know, at $1.50 a copy, that's just not very much.
What kind of books are selling? What kind of numbers for Take Control? Can you tell us anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, our top sellers is still Take Control of Upgrading to Panther, which is somewhere closing in on 6,100 copies.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, customizing is over 4,000, 4,200, I think. And it starts dropping down from there. We have a lot of books in the sort of the 1,000 to 2,500 range. That seems to be where we're at right now. And, you know, I'm really happy with it. You know, we're still learning about what works better. I mean, right now we discovered that, for instance, application-specific books, well, you've just automatically limited your audience a little bit.
Sure, yeah.
To people who use that application. Yeah. So, you know, something about Entourage probably isn't going to sell as well as something about Panther.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of our readers are pretty much using Panther or interested in it, whereas, you know, a lot of people use Office, but not as many as use Panther.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard from the traditional publishers that may or may not like this idea? I mean, in theory, you are blowing up what they've been doing for, living for centuries. You think does this way of publishing have legs, or will we always have print books too?
Oh, I think we'll always have print books, or, you know, at least for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
The reasons we can do this and real publishers, traditional publishers, really probably can't right now is that we don't have a huge infrastructure. We don't have offices that need, you know, rent paid on them. We don't have, you know, accounting departments and design departments and janitorial staff and all of those kinds of things where that other 90% of your royalties normally goes. So, you know, by keeping things small and decentralized, it allows us to do this in ways that I think normal publishers just couldn't. That said, I have seen quite a lot of interest from a number of publishers. Apparently, you know, the scuttlebutt is that we're being watched. And you know, this isn't just because we decided to rethink it doesn't mean we think badly of them or anything like that. And in fact, one thing that we haven't really said publicly up to this point, but I may as well break it here, is that we're actually working with Peach Pit to publish paper book collections of the e-books.
Oh, okay, so sort of like the greatest hits volume in paper.
Well, for instance, you'll be able to buy, and this is sort of our test one, so it's out a little bit later than obviously we would have liked, but you'll be able to buy Take Control of Panther Volume 1, which is the first four e-books in a paper book. And although, as I said, right now it sort of feels like it's, you know, later than many other Panther books, wait till we do this for Tiger.
Sure, yeah.
You know, where we can be potentially the first paper book out as well as the first, you know, the first e-books out. And the other thing that that we like about it is that, you know, these e-books have been out. They've been through multiple revisions that we've provided free to all our readers. We've, you know, incorporated reader feedback in. We've updated them for new versions. We're really sure that the information in there is good.
Yeah. That's something else I wanted to talk about, too. A lot of folks don't realize this. If I buy, for example, the Mac Bible in my local bookstore and Apple brings out 10.3.5, I can't go back to the bookstore and get the upgrade to Mac Bible, but you guys send out the upgrades for free to people.
In fact, actually, the Bible is an interesting example there because the Mac Bible used to do upgrades.
Yeah.
On
websites, right?
Well, no, they actually used to mail out these paper things. It was horrible. It was ruinously expensive.
No kidding. It must have been.
So, I mean, they don't do it anymore because of that. But yeah, normal paper books, you know, you wait for the second edition and you buy it for full price again.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas all of our books now have a check for updates button on the cover. You click that, it tells you whether or not you've got the latest version. It may even say, you've got the latest version, but we're going to be releasing a new one in a week. So we can sort of tell, you know, keep people up to date there. People can check in whenever they want. When they check in, they can also sign up for a mailing list if they want to be notified directly when we release the updates. They don't have to keep checking the button every so often.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the goal is very much to say, you know, hey, authors want to update their books.
Sure, yeah.
They you know, authors hate having obsolete books out there.
Yeah.
And readers don't want obsolete information. And, you know, it's a little bit of work for us, no question, but the goal in our is to keep our process as fast and as smooth as possible, that releasing an update isn't hopefully a huge hit in time.
Jamie Kahn Gannett via email says, take control of PDF book series question. I want to take control of Mailsmith book. Can you please ask about that? Does this go to what you said before, that application-specific books don't necessarily sell as well?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about doing things, something like Take Control of Mailsmith, and the problem we've run into, and we actually had had people who were interested in writing it, the thing that we have to deal with in such a decision is not that is it sort of worth it for us to publish, but is it worth it for the author to write?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it, let's say that, you know, Mailsmith has, you know, X thousands of users, what percentage of those people can we reach? And, you know, in the case of MailSmith, where we know the bare bones people, maybe we could work out some kind of marketing deal that would help. But, you know, in a lot of cases, once you start, you know, taking, well, we could get this percentage of this percentage of this percentage, and, well, we could sell it to 300 people. You know, and then you work out your numbers and you decide whether or not it's worth your time to write the book.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's definitely been something that we were a little disappointed when we kind of realized how the numbers played out, that we can do some sort of lower interest books, but the authors have to be really clear about how they're not probably going to earn very much.
But you certainly have the ability to get more, as we talked about early, niche on books than a print publisher, though, couldn't you?
Absolutely. And I think there are a whole class of topics, Upgrading to Panther being the absolute classic one, which you would never find an entire print book devoted to that.
Sure, yeah.
It's too specific. It's too short. You know, I mean, I think Joe bumped it up to like 83 pages or something in the revision, but a lot of that's, you know, like scripts and appendixes at the end. It's really more or less like a 65-page book.
Yeah.
There's no way you could do a 65-page print book. It's just too small. You know, that, you know, your price points don't work out, all that. So we can focus on something that people really want help with. We can get it to them immediately. And, you know, we can do it for a cheap price.
What's the future of the Take Control books? Are you guys going to continue to focus on the Mac market, or will we be seeing similar to the Dummies books, where you have Dogs for Dummies and Cooking for Dummies and Sex for Dummies? And things like that. Will we see sex? Will we see Take Control of Your Sex Life?
Can
I write that for you?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you might have dibs on that one.
God help us.
Although, I don't know, we'd probably have to find out what your sex life is like first to find out if you're, you know, qualified.
Man, we could go and just, the FCC would shut us down if I kept talking this way.
We actually, Tanya and I have a joke that, you know, no one should be allowed to write a parenting book unless they have at least 3 kids and their marriage is intact.
Exactly.
You know, everyone, you know, they have 1 kid and they want to write the parenting book. But seriously, you know, at the moment, we're still kind of, I won't say we're finding our feet or anything, but we're still figuring out how to get the process to be as smooth and decentralized as possible, so there aren't any bottlenecks in it. And until that time, we're going to stick with what we know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have the audience in terms of the Mac world that knows us. And so it's, you know, we'll probably start, you know, sort of dipping our toes outside of that, you know, into probably more internet topics. But, you know, eventually, yeah, I see absolutely no reason why we couldn't do, you know, Take Control of Your Sex Life, or, you know, Take Control of Your 2-year-old or whatever.
Leashes and Xanax is what I prefer. This is the easiest thing to do. Put a leash on them, feed them Xanax. It's a really interesting idea that these guys are putting. Aaron Adams, our co-host tonight, says, "Take control of your new dog. He's a beagle that's just ruining his life."
See, and the thing is that these are topics. Again, that's a perfect example where you're not going to read 200 pages on your dog.
Yeah.
But you know, boy, if someone could give you, say, you know, look, I've been a dog person for the last 10 years, and, you know, trained dogs and this and that and the other thing, and, you know, and here's the things I recommend for the top problems you're going to have with, you know, paper training and walks and leash training and all that kind of stuff, hey, you'd buy it for $5.
And $5 is one of those price points that's just almost a no-brainer for a topic that you've got interest in, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. We have charged $10 for a couple of our books that got longer,
yeah.
Basically just in the sense that, hey, this is kind of twice as long. But for the most part, you know, that still seems to be reasonable. Our authors have been very interested in keeping things at $5 for the most part, and frankly, we're interested in keeping the books more in that, you know, 50 to 60 page range.
Sure.
That we hit some kind of a ledge at, you know, once you get over like 60 or 70 pages where it just gets harder.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to keep things nice and short, and break books into pieces when we have to.
Folks, the website is tidbits.com. We all know that, but head on over to tidbits.com, left-hand side, click on the Take Control eBooks, the answers you need now, or go to tidbits.com/Take Control and check out all the Take Control books and pick. And Adam actually has a deal for us, don't you?
I do.
What's the deal?
I was thinking, you know, hey, I'm going to be talking to Sean. I should work up something for you guys.
Thank you very much.
So here's the thing. For Your Mac Life listeners who want 50% off the entire order, so however many books you order, it's 50% off, the total thing. You want to use this coupon code when you order. It's C as in cat, T as in Peter, N as in network, 40718, A as in Adam, D as in dog, H as in Henry.
I've got that code. Sly will post it up in our forums, sorry, in our IRC chat room for those guys who didn't get it. Or send me an email to sean@yourmaclife.com. Ask for take control code, and I'll hand that off to you guys. You can get 50% off of your entire order from the take control stuff from Tibbetts.com. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate that.
You're very welcome, and I hope people enjoy the book.
As always, kind of you to join us this evening.
Always fun.
Thanks, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Yep, bye.
All right, see ya.